Well, good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning, especially as we're celebrating the special time of the church, of the Spirit coming upon the disciples and then on to all people. And this is filled with such memory and such meaning for me, because I grew up in the Presbyterian Church back in Pennsylvania, and we celebrated this big every year. We would all wear our red, and I see the red out there, lovely. And the church would be decorated in red, and the pastors are decorated in red. We'd have balloons out even to make it even more celebratory, and we would have cake to celebrate the birthday of the church. You know, as a kid, that was important, right? Well, after the service, we would take those red balloons and take them aside, and we'd have a little note that we would attach to it that would say either, God loves you, or peace be with you. And then on the count of three, we'd all let go of those balloons. And up, 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 those balloons would go, up above the cars, the trees, up above the church steeple. And then as it hit the sky, it's like they all spread out, started moving out farther and farther. We would just watch until the balloons could not be seen anymore. As a little kid, I'd think of that and be so excited, like they were on a special mission out into the world, and that there'd be some other little child looking up in the sky and go, Mommy, Mommy, look, is that balloon for me? And I just thought that was so cool. And as I got older, then suddenly the Great Commission would come to my mind, where I think God saying, go out into all the earth, proclaiming God's good news to the nations. And indeed, that's why we're here today, celebrating this special occasion when God was on the move, extending God's grace and love to the Jews that day on Pentecost and out to the nations that day. And then today, we'll also look at not only walking with the disciples and all the others that experienced Pentecost that day, we'll also turn then and reflect upon how the Spirit is indeed moving and at work within each of us as well. So to put our story into context, we remember that Jesus and the disciples had been together for 3 years. They walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, learned from Jesus, and then they saw Jesus die. And on the third day, Jesus rose, and they were super excited about that, and they had more time with him again, about 40 days. And then Jesus needed to leave. And that day of ascension, as Jesus was leaving them and arising to heaven, he said to them, he gave a special promise, actually, and that promise was, I am sending what my Father has promised to you. So stay here in the city until he arrives, until you are equipped with power from on high. Well, does that make a lot of sense to you? I'm sure, like, the disciples would be a little like, what does that mean? I don't know. Wait, you're leaving? What? I want you here longer. I love being with you. So we join the disciples while they're waiting and wondering what in the world's going on, and what does Jesus mean that there'll be someone sent that will be that helping to equip them? But what do you do while you're waiting? Are you a patient waiter? How many people here are patient when they're waiting? Oh, a few. Good. Good for you. Or perhaps, like me, you find those projects that haven't been done and you fill your time with projects. Or, you know, the distractions that can come, or that you choose to do, like those Netflix shows that you just got to get through the whole series. Yeah, thank you. I hear I'm not alone. What was so impressive, though, with the disciples is that they gathered in their waiting together, and they prayed. They could have chosen to just rally and say, hey, Jesus that called us, and we're going to go do something, so let's just get organized and go, go, go. Where we go, I don't know, but let's just go. But instead, they humbly and wisely said, let's just wait. Wait until Jesus fulfills this promise. And while they're waiting, they're just faithfully following what they do as Jews. And so here they are in Jerusalem, celebrating with the Jewish calendar of Pentecost. And at that point, thousands are coming into the Jerusalem as well to join in the festival day. It was a party for the Jewish people. But little did they know, God was about to make that party a lot bigger, about 3,000 people bigger. So they're waiting. They're waiting for God to fulfill that promise that they had heard. And little did they know that God was about to do something bigger. Not only was God going to fulfill that promise for them, but God was going to fulfill the promise that God had promised back to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 12, when God said, "All the families of the earth shall be blessed through you." It's tremendous. God really does blow our mind. We expect this much, and God then does this much. And the disciples are about to see that. So here they are, gathered together, worshiping, praying, a lot like what we're doing this morning, is it not? I wonder what they were feeling in that time as they're waiting. Yeah, they were trusting and believing that God would work and move. But I bet they also had those feelings of uncertainty, fear, and also hope and longing and anticipation. And as they were feeling all that, suddenly a wind came into the room, and what looked like tongues of flames came down above their head. So I'd like you to engage with this a little bit more, and we'll engage our senses here. So take out your bulletins, please. Thank you. Now, looking at the front of the bulletin, there's a picture there. And I wondered if that's what those flames looked like as they came down on the people. You see the swirling above and the flames coming down onto their heads. Or I wonder if it would look like more like a smaller candle. You can picture that in your mind, like just something small. Or even the Jesus Storybook Bible, that was about 3 feet high above their heads. And I wonder if it would look like the flame that we'll see after service today. Okay, so picture a flame. And now, take your bulletin again, and you're going to create the wind. Turn to the person next to you and start waving that breeze. There you go. Or you can just blow at them, whichever way. You notice it? Do you feel that breeze? Now, can you imagine a wind coming that's more like the winds that you could feel at the ocean when the wind is blowing and you almost have to lean into it and you're just like, wow, and you're shouting to try to talk to the person next to you? It was that kind of wind. You know, they described it as that violent gale force wind that definitely would catch your attention. I mean, this, that caught my attention, right? Caught your attention. Yes, you can stop. Good, you stopped already. Don't need that for the rest of your service. But we feel this, and you would definitely notice that gale force wind coming through, and then turn to your neighbor and just sort of picture some flames above their head. You think that would be noticeable? Yeah, I think so. There was that visible change that had occurred. Something special was happening. But what's even more powerful was that there was an inward change that was happening. You know, John Calvin had captured this beautifully by stating that the symbol of the tongues of fire mirrored in the Holy Spirit's work in the apostles, they were now equipped to speak to the different tongues of the nations. Also, their hearts were on fire by the working of the Holy Spirit. They contained God's presence and God's power. And as we heard from the Jesus Storybook Bible, I loved it. It says, there inside their hearts, they felt that strange heat, almost as if all the coldness and hardness was melting away. And their broken hearts were mending, and God was giving them brand new hearts. They knew God's power had struck their hearts ablaze, and Jesus himself was coming to live in them. And so God deeply touched their hearts, and they couldn't help but respond with a resounding yes. A yes that moved them out of that room, down onto the streets where the other people were gathered. The ones who had the tongues of flame were now moving forth, speaking in tongues to other people in that diverse crowd. And we read, as we heard Brian read it, there was no nationality that was excluded. Luke made a point of detailing that roll call. The numerous countries and nationalities and all those foreigners were recognizing their own language being spoken. Have you ever experienced that when traveling? You're in another country and you don't know that language. Then suddenly your ears attuned and immediately drawn in when you hear your own language being spoken. So those visiting Jews and Gentiles had that same experience. There wasn't a cacophony of confusing noises, but that distinct language being uttered that they were drawn to and that they could understand the preaching of God's word at that moment. What that must have been like for them. And do you know what's so beautiful to note about this in this passage? God didn't make the language go back to one language, just like they had before with the Tower of Babel back in Genesis 11. No. God's power was manifest in the diversity of the languages. These group of strangers were transformed into a community who could speak to one another in the midst of their diversity. Unity, side by side with that diversity. This miracle occurred through God's fiery love, the Spirit at work, on the move, in and through the people. And of course, in this moment, the people are bewildered and confused. They're turning to each other. Well, how can this be? This ragtag, unschooled group of people are now speaking in other languages? And their responses, understandably, are in different ways. They're like in different groups. We have awe and belief. They're saying, this is amazing. Others going, I'm just plain confused. Then we have the third group, the scoffers. They're saying, they must be drunk. But every one of them are in need of an explanation. And that's where we have Peter standing up, proclaiming the truth, and giving the first Christian sermon. He was focusing upon God's fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, saying, God said he was going to do this, and here he is. Here God is doing it just for them. Putting the Spirit, Holy Spirit, into men and women, young and old, reaching out to those nations. And Peter also spoke about Jesus' role as Savior and Messiah. And the story of the Spirit moving doesn't end here. This is where we become part of the story too. If we jump ahead in the scripture, we hear this truth in verse 39 of chapter 2, where it says, this promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to God's self. Do you hear it? God loves you. Spirit's moving and I must move too. So indeed, God is on the move with us. Whether we're waiting and praying, as we are in this place here today, or whether we're out on the streets, going about our everyday life, indeed, God is with us, calling us, filling us, directing us. We don't experience those outward signs of the great gale force wind or the tongues of flame above our heads. But we do share with the disciples of that powerful inward experience of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And our hearts are powerfully touched. I regularly lead day retreats for people to come away and rest. To look a little at scripture and to spend time with God. And in those times, I am so blessed in witnessing how God is on the move continually with each and every one of those people, meeting them right where they're at, giving them a word from scripture, or as they're walking out in nature, seeing that amazing bird, finding a worm out of the ground, and they say, I need to be reminded that God's going to provide for me just like God provided for that bird. However the story goes, it is a constant that indeed God loves each and every one of God's children and is there, filling them and working in their lives. And I believe that it is so that the Lord And the Holy Spirit is at work in this church and even in our service this morning. So I invite all of us to take a moment here and to reflect on this morning. Where have you felt the Spirit moving within you? Was it a word that you heard in a song that we've sung? Or in the scripture? What caught your attention? Or perhaps it was even in that moment, that silly moment where we were waving our bulletins at each other, feeling that Spirit, feeling the wind, and being reminded of the Spirit. So take a few moments and close your eyes and just say thank you to God for what that moment is or that moment can come to mind. Or if you want to look in the hymnal again or at the scripture again, feel free to do so. And as you think of that word that comes to your mind, or the action that whatever it was that comes up for you during the service so far, where you see the Spirit moving, you can ask God the question, how does this connect into my life? How is this word connecting in? What are you wanting to say to me, even right now in this service? And feel free to write that down on the blue piece of paper if you haven't used it already. Because these are the special moments that we can take note of. That God is on the move even today. And I'd like to also take a moment and to reflect back through our own life. Where were those times in your life where you saw the Spirit moving? Was it the time of your moment where you said, yes, Jesus, come into my heart? And you sensed that, welcome home, my child. Perhaps it was that time when you were serving someone, whether bringing food to someone who was homesick or visiting someone who was just in need of a friend, where you feel the Spirit moving in that. And we join with you in saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your faithful love and moving within us to be your arms and feet to those around us. And just as God faithfully walks with us through the past, so we know God is with us into what's ahead. And so we turn to the week ahead. And what people come to your mind? Or what ministries are you involved with? You just want to say, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into these places. Fill me. Use me. I want to join you in what you're doing here in the world. For indeed, you are at work in this world. And I invite you to think of other ministries that our church is a part of, that maybe you're not actively a part of, but you know that our church really is a part of. Let's hold those before God, trusting the Holy Spirit to continue to move and work through those ministries, like Meals on Wheels, Willamette Center, the children and family ministries that happen in this church. Friendship and partnership with the Narwhals Women Advocacy Group, the Pacifica Rose Foundation, the Stephen Ministry, the Prayer Chain, small groups, the Ship Fellowship Groups, and the work of the staff and session and deacons. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Faithfully continue to help us see you at work and to join with you in what you are calling us to do, to be your community here in this place and out into this world. Empower us to show your love with those desperately longing for your love. Amen.